I don't know if we need to stand up and do some jumping jacks, some sort of calisthenics. You guys seem like you're asleep. But here's what we are doing at our church. We're in a five-week series called How to Live the Inside Out Life. We're going off of the movie Inside Out. Now, here's what I'm talking about, the movie Inside Out. If you haven't watched this, I'm going to ask that you go watch this movie because you'll find, even though it's an animated movie, it is a great movie talking about how our mind actually works and how we can be controlled by each one of these five different emotions. And so week one, we talked about the emotion of fear and how fear can sometimes hold us hostage to what our greatest needs or our greatest what-ifs are. And then last week we talked about, hey, I'm not going to complain. I complain too much. Now, let's just be honest. How many of you took the commitment last week and said, you know what? I'm not going to complain as much this week. Now, raise your hand. I said to myself, I'm not going to complain. Now, we've got a lot of people that aren't over with their complaining yet. It's a spiritual gift. I'm going to continue to use it because that's what I'm really good at is complaining. But you took the commitment this last week to say, you know what, I'm not going to complain. I saw last week that I complained too much. Now, here's what happened to me this week. I got cut off this week by somebody. And it was so hard not to complain about this. I went to Walmart this week and they had two lanes open. And I told you that's my greatest pet peeve. And I had a very difficult time not wanting to say something to somebody. Now, how many other people would say, I had a very difficult time this week not complaining? Now, it's probably because we're really seeing all the things that we're complaining about. And last week we said this about complaining. The reason that complaining is something that we have to put a halt to or we have to quit complaining is because there's dangers that are associated with complaining. And here's what I mean is anytime you complain about something that you can't control, really your complaint is not against that person that cut you off or that Walmart only has two lanes available. Your complaint really is against the God that you love and the God that you serve. So we said this last week. When you complain, you are offending the heart of God. Also, we said this last week, if you complain more than your share, more than likely, we said this, and I believe this with all of my heart, you're a person in this room that doesn't have a lot of deep relationships. You're a person in here who struggles to have friends. You have a lot of acquaintances, but you don't really have anybody really close to you. And the reason you probably don't have a lot of people close to you is because they don't like the fact that you complain about everything. And I said this too, you know, some people say that the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? I've changed the saying. Sometimes and most usually the squeaky wheel doesn't get the grease, it just gets replaced, right? And so that's what's happened in your life is somebody's just replaced you along the way because they can't stand your complaining mouth, that you're just always something wrong with something else. But last week we talked about the biggest danger of complaining is that eventually, Romans 1:28 says this, that God will give you over to your debased mind to do what's not fitting. Eventually, you can complain enough that God's going to say, you know what, if you think that you can be God better, you think that you can do life better, you think that you can navigate life better, I'm just going to let you have it. And eventually, he'll turn you over to this bitter heart. No relationships, and you'll slowly go down this path of being a miserable person. Not because God's bad, not because God's mean, not because God has something against you. It's because God has finally said, you know what? You think you know what's best? I'm going to give you over to your complaints. And so last week I said in my own heart, I'm going to stop complaining. But see, out of all these weeks, this is the one that I struggle with more than any other. It is funny that this guy looks like Chance Mooney, right? It's funny that it's always the little person that strikes the spark, right? It always seems like it's just the little thing that can just cause me to go off. And let me ask this question. How many of you, because of because of something that's happened in your life, said something to someone you love that you didn't really mean, but out of anger, you said it. Would you raise your hand with me right now? You vented when you shouldn't have vented, right? Now, if you're in here and you didn't raise your hand, I don't believe you, because I believe every one of us in this room struggle with this little guy right here, this idea of anger. Like right now, it's hot in here, and the hotter it gets, the angrier you become. Or, right, something about that ride to church. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like, I mean, even from walking from my house over to here, somebody is going to get on my nerves, right? And on the ride to church today, you said some words and you said some things like, I'm going to cut your ever-loving head off if you don't shut up in the back seat, right? Maybe you didn't say that, but I have to say that all the time. So you have a problem with anger. So what does the Bible say? I think it's a great place to turn. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 26, it says this, and it's kind of a weird way that it says, be angry. It gives you the all right, the okay to be angry. Because here's the thing about anger. Anger is a lot of like fire. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of how anger can be. When it's controlled, when it has a plan, it works. But see, the thing about it is, fire can put off warmth, right? If you're cold at night, you start a nice fire, there's nothing like that in the wintertime, standing in front of a nice, hot fire, right? Feels so good. Or if it's dark and all the electricity goes out, what do? You go and you strike a match. And you light candles, because it what? Puts off light. You know, some of us have gas stoves, and we can light the gas to warm water. And if you get real creative with fire, you can put it in a hot air balloon, and controlling the right amount of heat with the right amount of whatever goes else into a hot air balloon, it'll fly. See, I just caught my Bible on fire. Is that a sin? But the truth is the Bible says there's points in your life where being angry is okay. There's justified anger. And so you have to be able to weigh it out and go, you know what? This anger that I have, it's controlled. Because when anger gets out of control, just like fire gets out of control, it causes chaos. It ruptures things. It breaks things. It turns things that once were something that you could use into a pile of ashes. But the Bible says it's okay to be angry. So if you're in here and somebody crosses your kid, I think it's okay to be angry about somebody crossing your kid. Why? That's your baby. It's okay. But it's only okay up to a certain point. I think it's okay to be upset about abortion. If you're in here and you're with me, I'm upset about abortion is something that people are okay with. I'm angry about that. But here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to go set a bomb in front of an abortion clinic and set it off, because that's the wrong type of anger. And I'm going to tell you something that I'm really angry about. I hate when people misinterpret the Bible. I hate that with all of my heart, with everything that's in me. When somebody comes up and uses phrases like, you know, godliness is next to cleanliness. You show me where that's at in the Bible, and we'll quote that. We'll put it on the bathroom. We'll say, wash your hands. Be clean, all you people. We'll do that. But one of the things is just the righteous anger that wells up in me is when people misinterpret the Bible and say that God is only love if he does this, and God doesn't send people to hell. The problem with that is that's false. But I control that. Because if I don't control that, I can become a belligerent idiot, can I not? And I can turn people away from the gospel of Jesus Christ by my anger sparking up. And this is what the Bible means by this. It says, it's okay to be angry. There's a righteous anger, but there's a limit to that anger. But it goes a little further. It says, but eventually it'll lead you into sin. And it says, and do not sin. And this is what happens. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Now, if you want to underline that word or circle that word opportunity, some of your Bibles don't say opportunity. It says foothold. The actual literal translation from the Greek is topos, okay? Topos, T-O-P-O-S, topos. That actually means place or room. When we begin to get angry and we get out of control, we're giving a place in our life. It's like inviting Satan into our heart and giving him a small room in our life. And if some of us want to be honest in here, we would say, you know what, Sam? That's exactly what's happened with my anger. I feel like I can't control it. I feel like I have to live with it. Do you not? I'm just angry. I try so hard to just not be angry. And one of the things, one of the problems is because we've given it a room in our heart, we don't know how to control this. Now, here's a great story in the Bible, and I think I've used this one lately, so I don't have to go too far in depth. But Adam and Eve just had made the biggest mistake, right? They took the apple, and God kicked them out of the garden. And then chapter 4 happens in Genesis. And this is truthfully what happens. They have children. They have Cain, they have Abel. Cain is the farmer of the ground. Abel is the farmer of livestock. He's a rancher. They both give a sacrifice unto God, and God was so pleased with Abel's offering. He smelt it. He looked at it. He said, you know what? That's what I want. Cain, yours was not really given to me out of the kindness and the goodness of your heart. I'm a great detector of the intention of their heart. Listen to me. Can I just stop, pause, get on a soapbox? God knows the intention of your heart in this room today. And don't deny the fact that he doesn't know the intention of your heart. He doesn't know what's going on in your life. And some of us in here, the offering that we're bringing him the leftover parts of our life. We're not giving our full intention to him. And so we just expect God to be okay with our half-hearted worship, as if we would be okay with half-hearted worship. Let me tell you something. If your waiter brought you out half-warm food, are you going to complain about it? Yep. Let's say somebody gives you a birthday present. They give you a box. They don't put a present inside of it. Are you going to be a little puzzled by that gift? Yep. But some of us, this is the point that God's making to Cain. He's like, listen, it's okay to not give me $1 million. It's okay to give me very little. But at the end of the day, I know the intentions of the heart. You have to be willing to let me have everything that you think that I can't control. Give it to me and see what happens. Because Cain wasn't willing to do this, Cain becomes what? The Bible uses this term, indignant or angry. He becomes angry because his little brother outdid him. And if you've ever had a little brother that outdid you in front of your friends, it can kind of embarrass you. And when your little brother outdoes you in front of God, it's even in bigger embarrassment. And so he feels this rage inside of him. He doesn't know where it's from. We've never seen anger in the Bible yet. And this is the first instant. And he's angry. He's upset. He's frustrated. He feels like God is holding out on him. He feels rejected. He feels like things couldn't have gone any worse. And he becomes angry. And then in verse 7 of chapter 4 of Genesis, it says this. It says that God comes to Cain and says, Cain, why are you angry? He says, why are you angry? Why are you upset? Did you really think that I was going to be pleased with that? Did you really think that I was going to be okay with that? Come on, Cain, why are you angry? And that's a question I think every one of us need to ask when we begin to look at the anger that controls us. Why are you angry? Why are you out of control? Why is there problems with your anger? You've got to answer that. And that's one of the questions that God was asking Cain. He's like, listen, until you look at anger in the face and until you understand that you have an anger issue, you can never overcome it. And when Cain gets an answer from God in verse 7, he says this. He says, Cain, listen, if you'll do what is good, I'll be pleased. But if you don't, sin, it sets at your door and its desire is to rule over you, but you must rule over it. Giving it room, topos. He's like, listen, anger wants to take a place in your heart and it wants to try to control you. Now, if you're a person here that struggles with anger, you get this because there's a part of you that you just can't stop. When something goes wrong, there's a part of you that sets off like a ticking time bomb waiting to explode. Is it not? It's because we've given it a place in our life. So there's two type of angry people in here. I truly believe this. The Bible talks about it. How you deal with anger. There's spewers. You know what I mean? Like, when you get angry, everybody in the world's gonna know, and you just start saying stuff that you can't even control, and you're saying everything under the sun. Every word is coming out of your mouth. Every hurtful thing that you can think of is coming out of your mouth, and you're just spewing blah, 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 and you don't care who you hurt. I just want somebody to know that I'm angry, and I'm gonna hurt whoever is in front of me at that moment. I'm just gonna spew it, right? If you're a spewer in here, the Bible says, listen, just like I just spewed spit right there, you're a spewer, okay? You're a spewer? You just think that everybody should deal with your anger and they should just be okay that you can say whatever you want. And there's a second group in here. They're stewards. You're the type of person that just keeps it in. You bottle it up until it just gets too full, right? And then all of a sudden, it's like putting a Mentos into a Diet Coke. Am I right? If you've ever done that, go try that today. Pull that prank on somebody today, okay? Put a Mentos in a Diet Coke, and it'll shoot almost to the ceiling in here. And that's what happens is you're just filled to the top. You've held it in. My wife is this way. She holds it in. She puts up with a lot of stuff all the time. She keeps her mouth shut until finally she's had it up to here. Am I right? I can't stand it. I can't take it. And somebody's got to pay. Now, this is not her, this is just me. But I've had enough. And I don't know where you stand on this chart of being angry. If you're a spewer, if you're a stewer, or if you're just a belligerent idiot. Right? How do we control our anger before it controls us? The first thing that you have to do, listen, I truly believe this, is when God said to Cain, Cain, why are you angry? The first step in overcoming your anger, if you're taking notes, write this down, is you have to identify your anger. Now, let me just say something about your anger. Usually your anger is a secondary response to a primary emotion, all right? A primary thing that's going on in your life. And there's four different areas that I think that most anger comes from. And if you're taking notes, write these down, because your anger is not a result of you just being an angry person. It usually comes from one of these four places that happen in our life. The first one is fear. How many of you have ever busted your kids because they ran out towards the road, they almost got hit, and the whole way back inside you're busting them? And you're not busting them because you're upset at them, you're busting them because nothing bad happened to them and it scared you. Anybody else in here ever done that? So your actual angry thing that's going on in your mind is not due to you being angry, it's you being afraid that something bad could have happened, and the only way that you could express was, I'm gonna beat that out of you, right? Can I get an amen? All right, here's the second one. If you're taking notes, it's fatigue. Have you ever lashed out because you're just so absolutely exhausted? Me and Leanne, I don't know if you guys know this, we have 5 kids. Yes, we know what causes that, and yes, we're okay with it. We love each and every one of them. But laying down in bed at night is kind of difficult because it's like a revolving door into our room. And there's always this mysterious bug that shows up, and it's this big bug, and it's scaring me. You ever been there? You know what I mean? If you're a parent in here and you're totally exhausted, you lay down, and the only thing you want at the end of the day, you don't want TV, you don't want a nice hard drink, maybe some of you do in here, but at the end of the day, what do you want? You want your bed, right? Something about your bed says, hello, good night, you've been waiting for me all day long, and you want that bed. Can I get an amen? Amen, right? And I mean, there's nothing like, in the summertime, crawling into that bed, ice cold sheets, the pillow's cool. just fill it. That place that you've been, some of you are already there right now because I'm preaching. I'm so tired. And then just out of nowhere, something, because you're a mother or because you're a father, you feel the presence of a small child. Am I right? And they come and they tap you, and you can feel the tapping, but you're hoping they get the, get what's going on, that I'm not going to wake up. And they tap you on the shoulder, and you're not going to even recognize that they're there. You're not going to give any credit to them for coming into the room. But my kids are persistent. I don't know if your kids are. They start with a tap, and then it's to the face. So you wake up, and you know that you're going to blow a gasket. You're trying to keep your cool, right? Am I right? You're trying to keep your cool. Yeah, sweetheart, which I never use. It's usually, what do you want? Because I'm like a grizzly bear to wake up. Amen? What do you want? I just skip over the whole being kind. What do you want? I'll say, there's this bug, and it's slapping up against the window, and it's really scaring me. And you know this bug. This bug shows up every night. And just tonight, you don't want this bug to bug you anymore. And so you're like, I'm going to go grab the shotgun. I'm going to shoot the window out. And I'm going to kill this ever-loving bug because I'm tired of this. And while I'm at it, I'm going to bust you. And I'm going to take some duct tape and put it over your mouth because I'm tired. Now, listen, I've never said that, but I've thought it. But I'm angry. Listen, I'm angry not because I'm an angry person. It's because I'm exhausted. You ever been there? Here's the third thing that you have to identify. You can quickly go through this. You go, you know what? I'm doing this out of fear, or I'm doing this out of fatigue. Here's the third thing. If you're an angry person, listen. Frustration. It's Father's Day. And your wife woke you up this morning with all the kids in the room saying, Happy Father's Day. We got you something. Come to the garage and look. And number one, all you really want to do is one more minute of sleep or two more minutes of sleep, but you're trying to put on a happy face to go see what they got you. But you go out to the garage to find that they brought you a brand new pellet grill. Now, I would say that's pretty awesome, but my wife, she's too cheap to ask for Lowe's to put it together. She's decided that it's my job, because I'm the father, to put together this grill. And oh, by the way, honey, I bought steaks for everybody, so if you could put it together today, we can have steaks this afternoon. Thanks. I'll get right after that. So you go out, you open the box, and you see that there's 646 different parts that you've got to put together. And what's funny is most of those parts belong in places that you and your fat fingers can't get to, right? So you're working all morning. You're trying to figure out what this doodad goes to this doodad, and how this whatchamacallit goes into this whatchamacallit, and I'm going to figure this out because I'm a man, because I don't read the instructions. I can look at the picture and put it together. So all morning long, you're out there, and they give you a tool that's really made, it's a junky tool that bends, and it doesn't shape. It doesn't really fit the Allen wrench. I don't even know. I'm not even a tool guy. So, but you know, you put them together, and you know that some Japanese or Chinese person or somebody from Taiwan put this together so he could make fun of Americans with their fat fingers trying to figure this out. So now you're trying not to cuss other nations. You're putting this grill together because, one, you love your family, and I'm dad. Ah! We're going to have steak. But 3.5 hours later, you've not gotten any further. It doesn't seem to be working out. And your your sweet, beautiful wife comes out and says to you, honey, the kids are kind of getting hungry. Well, good for them. I'm just checking to see how far along you are. It doesn't look like you've gotten very far. Huh? No, I haven't! Am I right? 2 more hours go by, which should have taken an hour to put together. You finally went back to the instructions. You're getting close. And she comes out and she says, honey, I've just ordered some pizza. Would you go pick it up for us? Now, this didn't happen in our house. But I'm saying, have you ever let frustration cause you to say things and act a way that you shouldn't have acted? So your problem's not that you're an angry person, it's that you're frustrated that you didn't know how to put together a grill, right? But see, here's the last thing you got to identify. Is it because of fear? Is it because of fatigue? Am I frustrated? Here's the last thing. If you're taking notes, you ready for this? Rejection. See, this is what got Cain so upset. He was upset because he's been rejected. Now, if you're a single guy in here, you're trying to, you know, you're trying farmersonly.com or you're trying, you know, whatever zoo is available, I'll take whatever's available, okay? And so you've kind of, if you found your partner on farmersonly.com, I'm so sorry if I offended you. It's just funny. Good luck. But anyway, you're a single dude in here and you're trying your best to catch the eye of a young lady. Finally, you caught the eye of a young lady, and I mean, you're into your fourth date. You think things are really starting to roll, if you know what I mean. I mean, if you would have created the alphabet, you would have said, you and I are together, right? You know, is your daddy a boxer because you're a knockout? Did you fall from heaven because you're an angel? I mean, you've used them all. Excuse me, I believe you have my other rib. You've tried them all. They're starting along the way. You think things are starting to progress. I think she might start to like me a little bit. And so tonight you've planned the ultimate date. Skip McDonald's. Skip Chicken Express, Charlie's Chicken. We're going big time. We're going Red Lobster tonight. Because I'm going to pop a question to her. I'm going to pop a question of, where's this thing going? Because I think this thing's going straight to heaven because I feel like I'm in heaven. I'm going to pop the question, what do we do next? You can't wait. You pick her up. She looking fine. She gets in your car. You're the whole way. But you're noticing something on the way to the restaurant. She's a little silent. She's not as talkative as she's been. But maybe you're saying to yourself, maybe she's just nervous. Maybe she's just nervous and she just doesn't, she's feeling the same thing that you're feeling, that we're going to take this to the next level, if you know what I mean, right? So you kind of strike up a conversation. Even though she's feeling a little distant, it's okay. Tonight's going to be a big night for you. You've got it planned out. You walk into the restaurant and she's trying to just order salad. You're like, no, honey, this is a big night. This is a real date. I'm going to order for you. She wants the surf and turf. You know what I mean? She wants a ribeye and she wants a lobster tail. It's on me, baby, because I love you so much. This thing's going somewhere. And I want you to know this, right? So she's really kind of standoffish even more, but you're like, well, maybe she's really a lot more nervous than I thought. And so you're sitting there, you're trying to strike up a conversation, and she's just kind of pushing her food around her plate, and she's ordered water. She's not really into you, and you're starting to think, oh, wow, what's going on, right? So anyway, you're a guy, you're slow, you don't get what's going on, right? You're thinking of one thing. I'm into her, so she's got to be into me. I mean, have you checked this out lately? Right? Watch. Hey, easy, ladies. I know some of y'all just got a hot flash. Whew. Did you? Even my wife said no. That's when it's bad. Rejection. That's what I'm talking about right now. I'm so angry. Because you're a fool, you're going to progress in this, right? So you say to her, baby, And she's sick of you calling her baby because her name's, you know, Audrey. Just call her Audrey and don't call her baby or my old lady, right? Baby. Listen, hey, how many of you guys say old lady to your wife? Stop that. Ladies, can I get an amen on that? There ain't nothing old about them. Have you looked at yourself, bro? Stop calling them old lady. Call them sexy thing or something. Don't call them old lady. Shame on you. Your old lady's your mama, right? Okay, back to the story. You ready? Hey, so watch. You're about ready to ask the big question, the moment you've all been waiting for, at least you have, guy. Hey, so this is date number 4, and I've really enjoyed myself, if you know what I mean. And you're so confident in yourself, you got the head wobble. So I was thinking maybe we take this to the next level and we put on our Facebook that we're in a relationship. You in? Because I'm in. And she pauses you right in the middle of your question and says, listen, I really wanted to talk to you because I just don't see this going places. And she uses this line on you. You're more of a brother than you are a lover. So I would rather us have a close friendship than run it just because we don't really have much going on. And all of a sudden, you've just wasted $100 on surf and turf. You spent all this time, all your extra money, your bank account's running low. You felt like it was going somewhere that she might could have been the one, but now she's telling you that she wants to be a friend. And all of a sudden, everything that was inside blows up. And then you begin to tell her what you really feel. I wanted to tell you that you had food in your teeth, but I'm not going to right now because I hate you. Has anybody in here ever lashed out at somebody or someone or over a circumstance because you felt like you got rejected? See, this is what God was saying to Cain. He was like, Cain, you got to answer this. Why are you angry? And I think if some of us in here would just go through that list and go, am I somebody that is fearful? And I get angry over that. Do I have fatigue? Do I have just all this stuff of frustration boiling up from me? Am I a person that just got rejected? What is going on in my heart? If you could go down that list, I promise you, you'll be able to go back and look at that. You know what? I'm lashing out because of this, and here's what I've got to do. And here's the second thing. Once you identify it, here's what the Bible says the second thing you got to do. I'm almost done, okay? I'm almost done. We're almost through. Be calm. The second thing that you've got to do is that you have got to put a time limit on your anger. You've got to deal with it quickly. What does it say back in Ephesians? It says what? What did it say? Don't let the sun go down on your anger, right? Don't let the sun fall down on your anger. Deal with it quickly. If you continue to hold on to something over time, let me show you what will happen. I made something. Ooh. Hey, Cody, will you hold this? Stand up here, man. You're a really good-looking guy compared to me. Okay, I want you to hold this. And, well, no, hold it like that. This is dangerous, okay? Stay right there. Okay. Just in case. Do you like your eyelashes and your eyebrows? Okay, we'll try to keep it. If we don't... I just wish I had hair. If I'm not careful, stand here, you look good. If I'm not careful and I continue to be angry, even though I've identified it, but I'm still not okay with it, I continue to hold on to it. I continue to think about it. I continue to just feel like I've got to do something because something has got to be done. The Bible says that it will rule you and it'll set off a chain reaction that will cost you every time. Watch this. The chain reaction. I mean, your fuse is lit now. You don't care who's hurt. You don't care who you're talking to. You're just hurt. Now, all these matchsticks represents lives that are connected to you. Don't let it go any further. I did that for a reason.
I figured you messed up.
Oh. Par for the course. Until you find a stopgap, until you deal with it, it's going to control your entire life. Thank you. Whoops. I'm so sorry. Katie, your rug's ruined. The Bible says, listen, in Ephesians chapter 4, if you continue going on, it says, put away all bitterness, malice, and anger. You got to deal with it, but here's the hard part about dealing with it. You ready? I'm so used to that flame just sparking. Am I not? I just don't know how to control it. Am I speaking to anybody in here right now? How do you put it out? How do I stop? The first one is this. Psalms 46:10 says this, be still. I think a lot of us struggle with anger and frustration and rejection and all the things that come with anger because we just don't sit still. We try to get everybody on our side. We put it on Facebook. We try to just go out and express it over here. We try to get people to help fan the flame of going, you know what, you're right. You're right in your anger. But the Bible says, you know what, if you ever get frustrated, you ever feel like life is just pouring down on you, you can't control it, things are spinning out of control continuously, the only way that you can control your anger is that you be still. And then it finishes this way, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes you can't control what's going on in your life. Sometimes you can't control the circumstance and the problem. But you know who can? Is you be still in the one that can. I'm going to be still and I'm going to know that he is God. I'm going to understand that he's in control. He's not against me. He's not doing something to me. My God is for me. I don't have to let this anger control me. I don't have to let it burn out of control. I'm going to just be still in this moment. Here's the second thing you can do. If that being still is not working, you ready for this? Walk. Leave. Take the exit. Okay, literally, I was in Tulsa about a month ago. This really happened. I'm driving down 44, and there's this car. I look in my rearview mirror, and he's just weaving in and out. Like, here's my thought that's going on in my head. This guy doesn't care about anybody else's life. He doesn't even care about his own life. He's just going to take whoever's life. I felt like it was my job to ag it on. You know what I mean? So he pulls up, and so he tries to go left. I go left. He tries to go right. I go right. And I mean, I'm ticking this guy off. And he pulls up beside me, and he does the one thing that I hate more than anything when I'm driving. What do you think he did? He flipped me off. And I was like, I'm gonna break that finger off, and I'm going to shove it up somewhere it doesn't shine, okay? Edit that off there, please. But that literally was in my heart. I was like, I'm going to deal with you. And I mean, we're going down the interstate, and he's flooring it, I'm flooring it, and I'm like, I'm going to ram you off there, because I was in our church van, by the way. It was the new one. It doesn't have a name on it, so we're okay, all right? I think about these. That's why we don't have the name on it right now, because I drive it, okay? So I'm driving a church van, and I'm on my way to a hospital visit of all things. You know what I mean? I'm driving, I pass my ex, and I'm like, oh, we're going, me and you. You ever seen those police movies where they hit the bumper and they spin them out? That's what was going on in my heart. I will spin you out, bro. And then when I spin you out, I'm going to pull you out of that car. And it's not like I could do anything. If you look at me, I'm not very tough. I'm just tall and I'm big. You know, I'm fat and I'm heavy. But some people just get scared of somebody like me because I'm fat and I'm ugly, right? Ugh, that guy, he's tough to deal with. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to pull this guy out of his vehicle and I'm going to beat the tar out of him in the name of Jesus. Righteous anger, baby. It says be angry. I was angry, okay? It was righteous. And in that moment, I took the next exit because I was like, you know what? I'm not showing Christ's love here. Sometimes when you get angry enough, the best thing that you can do is take the exit. Hey, it's okay. Bruce Faba, anger management. Sometimes we got to learn words. Chill. Sometimes when I get angry, really angry, because the kids sit around the house and they just don't see a trash can, they just think the floor is a perfect trash can, and that really angers me. It's Father's Day. They get it from their mom. I know they do. But listen, and I'll come home, and I literally will do this. I'll come home from working at the office, and I'll start pointing out instructions, and I'll start being angry with them. And this is what Leanne does. Go back to your office. Literally, that's what she'll do. She'll go, leave. And at the time, I'm like, woman, I will grab you by the hair and put you in the room. Like cavemen, you know? Would I ever do that? No. I'm scared of her, actually. But she'll go, leave. It's not because she's mad at me. It's not because she thinks I'm an idiot. But she knows my tendencies. And if I'll leave and I'll get away from the situation for just a second, I'll come back a better man. Some of us in here, we need to learn to take the exit. It's not worth the cost of being angry. Listen, here's the last one. You ready for it? You forgive. Pastor, what do you mean I forgive? That person hurt me. I understand this, but listen, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, it says this, you forgive as Christ Jesus has forgiven you. That's how you put anger out. You forgive as Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Not everything's going to go your way. Not everything's going to be perfect. But the one thing that I can promise is that you and I, listen to me, folks, we've been forgiven because of what Christ Jesus did. I identify, I deal with it, and then I put it out. Who in here needs to confess, I got a problem? See, you can't, I appreciate that. I got a problem, Pastor. I've hurt people because of my anger. I've said things to people that I love that I didn't mean, that's caused a great rift and a hole in a relationship because of my anger. I'm in trouble with the law because of my anger. My marriage is in trouble because I can't control my anger. My job is on the line because I just keep getting wrote up for being angry and saying things that I shouldn't say to people that I like. You identified it. Deal with it and put it out. me, the greatest way that you can put out your anger is to tell God, I need your help. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes?